have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Johnny and Sam. And boy, oh boy, it's a Friday night on a long weekend. So what better way to celebrate that than by staying in and recording an Illinois basketball podcast, because Matthew Mayer just decided to transfer on over here to the University of Illinois. Sam, how are you celebrating? What is that?
Got that lighter flick.
You know, like, you're celebrating a little early.
You know, like in the song when it's like...
The Lil Wayne. I'm not sure how that relates, but it's important here. I'm sure we'll get to it. But yeah, I mean, the news dropped, what, 40-ish minutes ago by the time this is out, maybe obviously a little bit later, but pretty raw. I don't even know where to start. I will just say his raw start is Johnny. You get to eat your words a little bit I'm sure they're good, delicious words, but... You know, when we recorded our last podcast, you go, hey, it's a rebuilding year and not a tournament team. And I go, okay, as the roster stands right now, that's fair. But, like, it's, you know, probably it was, like, March when we recorded that podcast.
Yeah,
like,
and or early April.
Early April. Like, you cannot make that kind of inference. I said, wait until the roster's set. The roster's not set yet, but we'll get into it down the line of where we think this team maybe projects out. But, like... A tournament team, like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, morale was low at the time, and Brad Underwood has done what he had not done in the past, which is get coveted transfers, and our team is going to be really good next year, and we're going to be competitive. I mean, you got a guy who was a contributor on a national title team and a starter on a number one seed team. So that's, like, massive to have that as a senior to stretch the floor. And... We got Taron Shannon Jr., who once again contributed on really good. Like, we got good players on good teams. These aren't even like the Dane Danger transfers or other Omar Payne transfers. Like, oh, they came from a big school. It's like, no, they have a proven track record of being good. And now you replace potentially freshmen starting in your lineup with like
four-star freshmen.
Like, yeah, exactly. But. I was really worried because we had so many like great upperclassmen who really just contributed to our team being good, including an All-American, and Trent was second team All-Big Ten, and Plummer was third team All-Big Ten, and Grandison was a 40% three-point shooter. Like, we lost so much, but to be able to replace them with two massive transfers, and you still have two more open scholarships, like, now we actually have the chance to be competitive, because before I was worried like, hey, this is going to be like Iowa's freshman year where it's like, yeah, you have really talented freshmen, but it's just hard to compete in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten's wide open now.
Like, we'll get into
a
that.
A lot of teams losing their best guys. And now is RJ Melendez maybe like our third best player, fifth best player? Like, We got a high upside now.
You want him. You want him to be fourth or fifth or sixth. Like, you don't want him. The lower, the better, in a sense. It's like,
yeah, because that means everyone else is good.
Right. Before we get into the Big Ten down the line, projecting us, like, let's talk about again what this means for our team. Like, we've seen swing and a miss. I mean, if you want to go back to our time at school of like Gross just swinging and missing on recruits, and Brad, quite frankly, swinging and missing on recruits themselves. Like, there's been some frustration with basketball recruiting. Like.
Especially the four, like the stretch four position. Like, last year it was Dawson Garcia. Other times it was EJ Liddell. Other, like, TJ Holyfield.
Castleton, Braun, yeah. Golden, Gary. Yeah.
Are you talking about when we were at Oven for those 3 weeks? Because, yes, absolutely.
But it's crazy. Like, this was the white whale of positions. Brad Underwood's always said he wants a stretch four. Coleman a little bit like that, but not quite the like elite shooter that Matthew Mayer can be. Shot 40% on a national championship team. So I'm really excited to see how this offense works. And now it just like opens up opportunities for a lot of guys to be successful.
Yeah, we lost Garcia last year to UNC. Now we beat UNC for mayor, and we beat Michigan for Terrence Shannon Jr. Just straight up.
Is there someone you're talking about that you really want to rub that into? Is there someone specific who got on social media and like
the academic office?
Look, I'll say this: like, I as a fan, like, I get it. Like, you're pissed off. Like, if I'm Hunter Dickinson, like, you're pissed off you didn't get the player you wanted on your team. Was that the best way to go about it? Probably not. Did Texas Tech's coach maybe do Terrence Shannon a little bit dirty?
I don't think so.
We'll never know. Yeah. No, yeah, no, we're not. We'll go with no.
We love Mark Adams.
We love Mark. Great coach. I mean, the fact that he, like, they're still a very high level team even after Chris Spear left is pretty impressive. But yeah, so it's like back to back. You're swinging and missing constantly, and you go back to back home runs. I mean, the number one and number four transfer in the portal, according to. It's Evan, right?
Evan Mia. Like, I mean, it's crazy because, like, Brad Underwood had been a good prep recruiter, but transfers, I mean, Plummer was a good get, but he was by no means like a coveted transfer. Same thing with Omar Payne. Like, it was like, oh, nice pickup. But before that, Grandison, Hutcherson, all these guys weren't like, oh, you're getting this big name transfer. We had always kind of been the second, you'd been the bridesmaid, but not the bride. So, right. It's kind of crazy to think, like, college basketball players think Illinois is good now. Like, we beat out the team that went to the national championship and has one of the best programs, like, in history in UNC.
Speaking of brides and bridesmaids, to quote the Princess Bride.
Yeah, it's inconceivable. Like,
I don't know if I want to give Rossine much clout.
Yeah, that's okay.
But like, I really hope that it's not just, like, a one-year thing, but more of just a sign that people know Illinois is legit now, and Underwood is going to keep, like, you look at how good our prep recruiting class was. Now you include the transfers. We've changed what the culture is. We've changed what the outlook is on Illinois. And now it's like that's a Big Ten school people want to go to.
Yeah. All that's missing is the results.
In the tournament.
Maybe not in the regular season, the last couple of years, the Big Ten tournament, but in the tournament itself, like, Now you do damage. Like you said, Johnny, like, Matthew Mayer is a guy that has been there to the championship, to winning a championship and the Final Four. Like, it can be hard to find that type of experience in college basketball unless you're the team that's actually done it, or you're on the player of the team that's actually done it. For him to bring that experience over has to have some sort of objective, tangible component when you also have a ton of talented freshmen coming in that have never even played a second of college basketball.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet to give a lot of guys who could have high ceilings a little bit more leeway, like Clark, Epps, Rogers, Dane Danja, even maybe like Coleman. Like, there's less pressure, and Goody and Melendez, like, there's less pressure for them to be relied on. But if even like one or two of them have a breakout year, that kind of like fills a good chunk of your lineup or rotation.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about, like, what's basketball moving towards? It's length and it's shooting, and that's what you got with both Shannon and Matthew Mayer. And everyone was a little annoyed about last year's team. It was a flawed team where it's like you had a bunch of little guards and a really big center, and you kind of lacked the ability to switch a lot on defense. Where, like, you look at the Boston Celtics, they're amazing because their defense is just everyone can switch. And now it's like, okay, you could run out of a lineup where everyone's like 6'6 to 6'10.
Yeah, how tall is Terrence Shannon? What's he listed?
6'6.
6'6. Mayer's 6'9. Coleman is 6'10. 6'10. Danger.
6'10.
6'9. Wow. Yeah,
Goody 6'7.
Right.
Melendez 6'7.
Ramses.
Yeah. Ty Rogers is going to be good at defense. Like, we could really lock guys down in a defensive way that we haven't seen. Like, we've seen ways where we do the drop coverage with Kofi, but then, I don't know, it gave mid-range opportunities, whatever. Like, this could be a really interesting defensive team, and I'm excited to see, like, that style of play. Now, offense might look different. Obviously, we might be doing five out, and it's just not going to be the same without getting those, like, easy Kofi buckets, but I do have faith in Brad Underwood. He's adjusted his offense more than a few times, so it's exciting.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I don't think we've ever really had, like, this kind of length before. Like,
length?
Length. Aaron Jordan, LaRon Black, Michael Finke, maybe.
Length on the wings. I mean, that's a different type of length. Than we're used to. It is. It is cool to see like what. Obviously, a lot changes when Kofi leaves. Like, what adjustments does Brad make? How does he coach around these guys? It'll be very interesting to see. I mean, we can try to project out a starting lineup. I mean, Shannon, Mayer, are locks. RJ, probably a lock.
Yeah.
Danger, I would say a lock. Those four.
Maybe Hawkins over Danger.
Oh, that's a good point. But you're starting a lot. I guess
this
is
a great problem to have.
Yeah. You're right. Basketball has moved to more length, and especially if you know guys like Shannon and Mayer can shoot the ball, then it's fine. Like, you're not trotting out like a true five that we, like last year we trotted out a true five in every time that Kofi was out there. Like, unless you have Danger out there, like, you're never really trotting out a true five.
And who's excited for that chemistry between Mayer and Dane after their time at Baylor together?
Reunited, and it feels
that's,
so
that's
good.
Why Mayer came back, right? Mm-hmm. That's why he's like, I need to reunite with my teammate who played three games at Baylor. But
so we didn't really finish out sort of projecting the starting lineup. One of the freshmen are probably going to be thrusted into the starting lineup. I don't know if at this point in time, again, as we stand here on the end of May, if you could say like, oh, Sky is definitely in over Ty or versus Apps just because of the rankings or what. But you imagine it's 4 and 1 freshman, I would assume.
Yeah, that would make the most sense. And the point guard position seems to be the most open position. So it'll be interesting to see Epps versus Clark, but who knows? Hopefully, we still have 2 open scholarships. We could get a transfer like a Courtney Ramey or a Malachi Smith, really get a lead guard. But we'll see. We got a couple of talented freshmen. It'll be interesting.
I mean, one of those scholarships is Hutch. Like, what do you do?
Technically,
with Hutch?
Yeah, Hutch. I mean, I don't know. He graduated. He's been at Illinois for 4 years. I think his commitment, like, is up in some way in terms of like Illinois having to use
like
his scholarship.
Honor it. Yeah, like they don't honor have to it. Honor exactly. It. Yeah, that's I truly like you feel for that kid. Mm-hmm. You do feel for that kid.
So. Definitely. And if you want, like, you can probably still transfer somewhere else. D1.
Yeah, like a Wesleyan?
Yeah, exactly. But he probably also wants to play basketball. Yeah. And we have a really crowded lineup. So I don't know if that's the best spot for him. But it would be interesting to see, too. Brad has 2 open scholarships. In the past, he's kept at least 1 open scholarship, so he could go that route too. So then you can pick up the next Dane Danger or the next whoever.
Yeah, it's so interesting the way the landscape of college basketball has changed in terms of like, when do you fill those scholarships? When do you keep them open? What you do with them, like now with transfers? Gosh, it's got to be so much more difficult to coach college sports now than it was, I mean, 20 years ago versus even 2 years ago with the portal. Like, the way in which a shift is fascinating.
Didn't they just, was this just for college football where they're enacting like a transfer window that coaches had pushed
so
for?
Cool.
Did you guys hear that?
I don't know. I know that they did enact the change with like the 85 scholarships and the way that you can sign out
we're
different
here with,
classes.
With Jake, who just came over, who apparently he's nodding his head. Jake, is there a transfer window?
I believe in both basketball and,
Get in here.
I believe in both basketball and football. They're going to do a transfer window, but I may be wrong.
Yeah,
you heard it here first from Jake. Thank you, Jake.
Expert analysis from our buddy Javins.
I feel like that's a good like
idea. As you like soccer, that's
good
why.
Like make up your mind kind of deal. Like,
yeah, no, it makes sense because it does these things. As I mean, recruiting in general. You recruit these dudes for like 36 months, some of these guys, when they're like sophomores in high school. So I do think that's a good idea. It's just like, because the recruiting windows are things in general. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that expedites this process a little bit, and it's a win-win for everyone involved.
Yeah, and I mean, Illinois did kind of benefit from Kofi's decision for the draft being earlier than everyone else's because he had already entered a few times. Ultimately, you benefit because you have more time to like figure out what's going to happen. Obviously, we didn't necessarily benefit from him not returning, but a year ago, it was like really up in the air. Okay, do we go after another transfer, this or that? But now we know, and Brad's been able to pounce, so that's very encouraging. Yeah. And that's also something we haven't really talked about yet is kind of the Kofi leaving, the rest of the roster churn the other way. Excited for him to play in the NBA. Definitely a 8% loss.
8% body fat.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Someone check those numbers.
It was fun to see those combine videos. But you were saying, Johnny.
But I was just saying, just really rooting like heck for him. It sounds like he's got a good chance of getting a two-way contract. I mean, he's a two-time All-American. Like, I would invest some resources in the dude. And it's crazy to think that, like, we're going to be watching basketball games and we're not going to be like, just give the ball to Kofi, but it's going to be different.
Yeah, LaVine walks, there's space for a taller guy. You got a guy like Kofi come in and kind of replace LaVine.
Is he a bull? Now him and Io running LaVine, the pick and roll.
Yeah, you know,
if he was on a two-way contract, would you guys go see the Windy City Bulls play?
Yes. Yes. I think I would. Yeah, we can make some
field trip. Yeah, absolutely. That would be a blast. I mean, that would be cool. It's the trifecta, Malcolm and Io, and now we're just missing Kofi.
Yeah. Maybe make a trade with the Grand Rapids G League team and get Georgie on our squad too.
Can we get an all five? Yes, we need all five. We need one more there. But yeah, so we didn't mention Kofi, but of course so grateful for his time, and we wish him the absolute best. Do we want to even start to let our minds dream in terms of where we might find ourselves ranking in the Big Ten next year? We were talking right before we started recording of like, who's going to be good? And John and I kind of looked at each other and we go, Indiana. Like, they seem like that plucky team that was like you, Illinois, a couple of years ago, right before we kind of went on this 3-year run where it was like, okay, I think the young team, good coach, new coach, new hire, pieces are starting to kind of get in place. They could be that plucky team.
Yeah, I mean, they have TJD who's going to be a senior, so you automatically have like an all Big Ten guy. Like, they're a known commodity, but at the same time, they're a known commodity who hasn't really won that much. So it's on that side, it's like we're not that afraid of Indiana.
No.
But you do compare it to like when teams return a lot of guys and you take a team that already made the tournament, similar to like that Illinois team that didn't even make the tournament, but they returned everyone and added Kofi, then okay, that's a six seed or whatever. But so Indiana, we know. Michigan, we know because they have Dickinson. But a lot of question marks throughout the Big Ten. Maybe it's just going to be weak. And, hey, I'm very happy to benefit from a weak Big Ten.
Yeah, like, all day, yeah. Purdue, we talked a little bit about.
Yeah, like, Zach Edey.
They keep Edey, but they lose a lot. They lose Travion, and they lose Ivy. And
yeah, they lose their guards, too. I think Eric Hunter's gone, and Thompson's gone. Yep. So, like, First is going to be good. Kaufman's going to be good. That's the thing with Indiana.
Stefanovic. Yeah, Stefanovic. Yeah. That's a 33s a game that you lose right there.
Yeah. And that's the thing with Indiana, too, is they do have, like, 2 5-stars coming in. But we saw with Michigan, they had 5-stars come in around Dickinson, and that didn't work out, which that's also why we were tempering expectations with our great recruiting class, because you don't know how these freshmen are going to turn out. But when you have veteran players who are proven, then you feel good. But, Maddie, we were joking. You're like, is this finally going to be the year?
It's got to be the year that Wisconsin finally, like, regresses a little bit. It was supposed to be last year. Davison came back. They had an unbelievable year from Johnny Davis. Like, you couldn't have projected that. They had an unreal year from, all those guys. Wall, they all probably outkicked their coverage a little bit. Mm-hmm. We couldn't have expected that. Like, this has got to be the year in which, like, I mean, the recruiting. Have you looked at the recruiting, too?
Yeah, it's not good.
They were, like, 13th or 14th in the Big Ten in recruiting for basketball.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to go play for Greg Gard? Like, but you just got to hope they're not going to uncover an All-American lottery pick their bench.
Who's like, that dude that just committed to them that had the sick picture on Twitter? Oh,
I don't know.
You guys go on.
Okay. 2023 top 100 Wisconsin kid, Gus Yaldin.
Oh, Gus Bus.
Yeah,
Gus
the dude Bus. With the bus. But, yeah, you just know he's going to be
but
so
no,
good.
But he's not even coming till like next year.
But he's
going
to haunt me until then, and then for the next 6 years after. you're right.
But still, it's like we don't think Wisconsin's just going to randomly like stumble upon an All-American who was on their bench last year.
Probably
Hopefully
not.
The same thing with Iowa. Although, like, I do think Chris Murray is going to be good if he comes back. But Iowa still loses a lot of guys. Like, it seems like everyone's losing guys, and I haven't seen that many transfers coming into those schools who are like really wowing you.
As we, the more we talk about Michigan, they do scare me a little bit because the freshmen, like there's room for them to take a big jump, such as Caleb Houston.
Mm-hmm. And their coach just denied another NBA job for like the fourth time. Juwan Howard's agent works hard to remind everyone that he's denied another NBA job.
Yeah.
But.
Does Devontae Jones have another year of eligibility? I'm looking at their roster right now. I don't know if they've, it says grad student. I don't know if they've updated it yet. Obviously Diabate, Houston, Johns, or is he a senior too? I can't tell if they've, and Brooks, I don't think they've updated their roster here.
Because I know Diabate and Houston are still like in the draft.
Yeah, I don't think they've quite updated their roster. But if these guys stick around, like there's absolutely no reason to think that they can't contend for the top. And all those teams have lost players. Like we're definitely not going to ignore the fact that we have lost Kofi, Trent, and DeMonte. Like we're not going to, and that our freshmen are going to be playing better than other teams' freshmen. Yeah, our sophomore, of course, our sophomores take the sophomore leap, and the others don't. Yes. And our other teams' freshmen struggle to adjust, and our freshmen immediately can contribute. Of course, that's a fallacy that every team likes to engage in, and it's fun. But like, there's no reason to think that you can't be right up there. Like, what about MSU? Like, where's MSU? They're
Yeah, like they lose Max Christie and other guys come back, but I think did Gabe Brown graduate? Did some of the other dudes leave? Like, no one on that team really scared me before, and they're not like picking up massive transfers, so there's no reason to think that they're just gonna like blow the doors off of anyone.
Yeah, now that I look at the Big Ten standings, Maryland, Penn State, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern. Rutgers, you can pretty much all count on them like for sure finishing behind us, I would like to think.
Yeah.
Which is like that's half the Big Ten right there. And so hopefully Kevin Willard doesn't like pull anything out of his.
Yeah, have to beat like three other teams and then you're top four.
Yeah,
like,
I mean we were not expecting to be top five.
Yeah, and Ohio State's losing EJ Liddell and Malachi Branham, like I mean
Kyle Young's been there for 12 years.
Yeah. Kyle Arns. Or Arns, too.
Yeah,
where'd he go? Oh, he went to. Oh goodness,
him and Pajimski. Oh, he went to Loyola Marymount.
Yes,
Pajimski went to Santa Clara.
So there's West you gotta Coast watch. Boys. Yeah,
we're gonna be up late this season, boys. There's gonna be some 11:35 p.m. tip offs.
But yeah, it's like, is Wisconsin gonna be good again? Is Iowa, like looking at the top of the standings? Wisconsin, Iowa, Rutgers, Purdue. Like, okay, maybe Purdue's still gonna be good, but everyone else.
Someone has to finish first, second, third, and fourth.
Relative.
And there is always going to be a surprise team that you're like, holy cow, like, where do they come from? They're really good. Now they contend for the Big Ten. And there's always going to be a team that you thought was good that is going to falter. That's 18 to 22-year-old college athletes. That's sports. But it's really wide open. Like, last year, I feel like we kind of knew where things maybe were going to fall maybe a little bit better. But it feels really wide open, and I know it's still early, it's still May, but, like, that's got to excite you.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, though. Like, everyone kind of sometimes dismisses, like, what the preseason rankings are. In a lot of ways, those preseason rankings were very accurate. Last year, the top three teams projected were Michigan, Purdue, and Illinois. Who were the two Sweet 16 teams? Michigan and Purdue. And who won the Big Ten? Illinois. Granted, Wisconsin also won a co-Big Ten championship, right. But
they were like projected 10th or something.
But
ridiculous.
Like sometimes people like dismiss those rankings, but hopefully we're near the top in those rankings, and then because it's like showing the talent. And I mean, we saw Bart Torvik, one of the analytics guys, said Illinois went from 30th to 12th with the Matthew Mayer pickup because now you give 30 minutes that you would have given to freshmen to a guy who started on a national or who played on a. Like a one seed team, so it's really exciting, and being a top 12 team again for the third straight year, like that would be awesome.
It's exciting. I mean, it's like it's the end of May, and we still have like football season, or at least the first like 3 weeks of football season until we fully move into getting excited about basketball. But like it's hard not to be really riled up here on Memorial Day. Weekend. The only other thing that we should talk about, I mean, is the man that did bring in Brad Underwood, Josh Whitman. He got an extension, and I do think that that is really important to talk about. Till 2028?
Really, I think it was another 5 years.
We really should have.
You
think we would have looked at this before.
Extension. Yeah.
We love Josh.
Yeah.
Very. Just want to let everyone who's listening know I really like Josh Whitman. he's really good at his job. I think he's really good at it.
He is very good looking too. He's got big hands,
a broad neck.
I mean, when we've gone on runs with him, like, I mean, I have to take probably like 6 steps for every step that he takes with his stride. Anything else about about Whitman aside from like this physical appearance?
Yeah, I mean, no. It's interesting. I feel like we've always talked about it. Like, he seems like a guy who could even do better than the Illinois AD job in terms of, is it being Big Ten commissioner? Is it something else in sports?
Politics,
he honestly could be
acting,
a politician.
Yeah. Well, not that position isn't already extremely political.
No. But I feel like before he looks into any of those opportunities, he has one thing on his mind, which is like win in basketball and football.
Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Daddy.
Like, his job's not finished. He's done an exceptional job, and he continues to just provide us the resources. Like, look what he did. He's doing with Ubbin right now. He rebuilt the Smith Center. Like, the dude works his ass off and is really good at his job. So it's really exciting to see him stay on. So I think it was a 4-year extension, which would have been his third after, like, he signed a 4-year contract, then he got a 4-year extension, 4 years. So that would be like 12 years because he was hired in 2016. So it's crazy to think of in 2016 where we were athletically and now.
And there were some doubters.
There were some doubters for sure. And the Underwood hire was a home run. Lovey was a big swing. And, you know, you miss sometimes. But hopefully the Bielema hire puts us in the right direction to just be like what he believes Illinois should be, which is like great at revenue sports.
It's such a hard job for Josh Whitman because he's so good at his job, but there is such a component of it that at the end of the day, like, it's Illinois football that has struggled so much for 100 years. And it's like, not to take anything away from Josh Whitman, but like, holy shit, like, that's such a hard position to be in. And he's doing everything that he can. I almost like feel bad for Whitman in a sense where it's like, it is not your fault that Illinois football only won 5 games or maybe only wins 3 games this year. Like, it is not an indication or an indoctrination on Josh Whitman. Like, that is just such a hard hole to dig out of that just has decades of like stank on it. I love Illinois football with all
my
heart.
Sugarcoat it.
I love it so much, but like, it's such a hard job. Whether you're Bielema or whether you're Whitman or anyone on that staff recruiting, like, it is such a difficult job.
He's hired two guys. One thing, like, the thing I really like about Underwood and Bielema is I feel like those guys are also like, will do literally anything to win, like, just massive hustlers.
Yeah. like just go into like high schools and recruit kids, or
even like, I mean,
more than
that's like the bare minimum.
Oh, okay, really? You
were staying in Champaign over the summer?
No, I did that one summer. Come on, that's not a bit. You're talking about me. Yes, you're right. Like to, almost to like a sick level where it's like, I. Like, would you guys ever want that type of work-life balance? Like, no way! But, like, I'm glad that the people leading on my teams have that, like, disgusting level of commitment, but it's awful.
No, I mean, what's cool, too, about Whitman is the guys he hired were Power 5 success stories. Underwood, successful at Oklahoma State. I mean, Bielema, multiple Rose Bowls, and was even solid at Arkansas. When you compare that to who Mike Thomas was hiring, which was Tim Beckman from Toledo and John Gross from Akron, like, that's just not the same. Or even previous to that, like, hiring Bruce Weber from SIU and hiring, I guess Zook was from Florida, so that was something else. But there have been a lot of times where we've just been okay with like not hiring guys with truly like Power 5 success, and got to give Whitman a lot of credit for hiring guys who then, you know, like, yeah, they're hustlers, but they've also just won at the big stage.
Right.
And hopefully that kind of water finds its level with Bielema.
That would be ideal. I did not want to take this Friday night to shit on Illinois football. By all means, I feel like I really went in this evening. Illinois football is one of my first loves, but, and I'm one of the 17, but I mean, you guys know what I'm saying, where it's just like, it's such an uphill battle.
It's hard to, like, you are who you are a lot of times.
Right, right. In college football, a thing that's been around for 150 years, like, exactly.
It's hard to just do what, like, Wisconsin did in the 90s or Iowa did in the 80s. Like, Kansas football has so many resources from Kansas basketball, and they still cannot get out of the bottom.
Yeah.
And so many other schools cannot, like, escape who they are, who recruits view them as, what your state has to offer. So,
and I'll still be shocked when we lose to Wyoming week one, but
but we but will be there at least we'll be there for it.
We'll be there. The Virginia game time, 3 o'clock. Yeah. That's pretty prime.
But hopefully the you are who you are, maybe that brings Northwestern back to who they were in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And
because they had, like, Illinois alum Jim Phillips running the show as an AD, but now he's gone.
Now he's the ACC commissioner. So that would be real, like, if that's Bielema's first step, doing what Tim Beckman wanted to do, is just like, step, be better than Northwestern and win the state.
We say it's so hard, but then Robert always writes, like, the articles about how damning it is that, like, we go this long. Like, no, like, very few programs go this long without making a bowl game.
Yeah, so like it isn't that hard to just win six games, but we've found a way to make it incredibly hard.
We found a
way. But
that makes it fun, right, guys? Yeah. Right? One bowl game, Anything else? Jake, if you feel like you have any cool insight to add, I mean, he's watching baseball and he's eating dinner. Anything else, guys? This is exciting. You know, football season, like, it is not far away from
about
now.
About 100 days.
You close your eyes and it's July 4th. You open them up, it's end of August and it's week zero. So, you know, it's getting there. But yeah, maybe we'll do a couple more of these episodes. Maybe if a couple more transfers drop. There's a couple, maybe a little Northwestern transfer. I know we're maybe talking to the Denver transfer. I don't know if today's news changes.
I mean,
But
Pete Nance. I don't know if he wants to come in and be a backup at Illinois. Okay,
but still certainly opportunity for roster shakeups. But yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next episode. I L L.